Matthew 16, verse 16. We're looking at the local church as God's holy ground. Say, God's holy ground is the local church. Now, what is holiness? Holiness means separate. In the Hebrew is the word kodesh. In the Greek is the word agion or agios. It means special. Holiness is not a moral quality. It can produce a moral quality. It should produce a moral quality. But holiness is first of all, right, a separation. It's not necessarily a quality. It just means something is treated in a special way. So, if the church, the local church meeting, is a holy place, it means we must treat it specially. We must. We must treat it in that holiness. So he says in verse 13 again, 16, sorry, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we said that Peter is not making just an admission here, is actually making a claim against other claims. And that goes to everything that's associated with the gospel. We must not allow the world to get us to treat the church service like any other meeting. It's not. It's a holy ground. So Peter says that the Christ of the Lord, quick one. Then Jesus said, blessed thou Simon by Jonah, verse 17, bless the blessed unto thee, but thou art in heaven. And he says in verse 18, I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell, which is spiritual in nature, shall not prevail against it. 19 says, I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now notice, in talking about the church, Jesus talks about heaven and earth. So the church is heaven in its earthly place. The local church meeting is an heavenly assembly. The writer of Hebrews tells us, not forsaking the assembly together one another, Hebrews 10, 24, 25. As a matter of some is, he said, but we shall stir up one another as we see the day approaching. Then in Hebrews 12, verse 1, he says to everyone, let us run the race set before us with patience, right? Laying aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Now, why did he say that? He says, seeing that we are surrounded with so great, Hebrews 12, a cloud of witnesses. And we saw a cloud is a supernatural assembly. So which means, in our church meetings, we are surrounded supernaturally. It's heaven. So I say it's heaven. Say it's heaven. That song that Unyadi sang, this is heaven. This is the heaven you have been looking for. Hallelujah. I mean, you have to get used to me. Hallelujah. You know, people have different visions that they see like that. So, it's heaven. It's heaven. So, Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. You know, one time, you know, he was casting out demons. And he said it was merciful. He said, if I, by the Spirit, cast out, the Holy Ghost cast out demons, then the kingdom is among you. And so we said earlier today that the glory is God's special manifestation. Where he's visible, he's active, he speaks, he judges, he acts. That is the glory. So pay attention here. So the church Jesus said the church has the keys. We read in Genesis 28, he said this is the gate of heaven. It says the church has the keys of the kingdom of heaven and earth. And we read in Genesis 1 and 2 that mankind, you and I, we are an intersection between heaven and earth. That's what we are. So I give you the keys of the kingdom. So look at the names with which our assembly is described. Okay, I was in Hebrews 12:1. Then Hebrews 12:22. You are come unto Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. He said to an innumerable company of angels. He says to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn, which are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, and the spirits of judgment made perfect. So notice what you have come to. You've come to heavenly things. So look at the names with which our local church meetings goes by. 1 Corinthians 3:16. You are the temple of God. You are the temple of God. Why? Because the Spirit of God, he says, dwells with you. 1 Timothy 3:15. It says the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Those are descriptions of heaven on earth. They are descriptions of heaven on earth. So, they are descriptions of a holy ground. They are descriptions of a sacred place. Don't forget what holiness is. Where you do things that are special. Where you do things that are not common. Where you do things that are reserved for it. And I'm talking to the pastors now. Where you do things that are special to it. So you cannot equate your board meeting with church meeting. No. You cannot equate what you do at home, even though home should be God's house, but you know what I mean, with church. This is his holy place. So what should drive our motives is God and his worship. Are you following this? Are you following this? Now, because of, you know, we just have to go through this quickly. What should we do when we come together? Now that we know this is holy place. Imagine if you have a meeting. And, let me put it properly. A lecture. And then you're in the university, or the polytechnic, or school anyway. And then the lecturer comes in, and then someone begins to play music. Music is not evil, but it is not for that event. You know, every time we talk like that, people say, "Boy, are you saying this evil? You people are just religious. You are just legalistic." What must go on there must be holy unto the Lord. It can be about us. You know, something like, "I enjoy the worship." Enjoy? You are a priest. Priests don't enjoy. "I enjoy the worship. I wasn't feeling the sermon." Feeling? Feeling call. Granite. If you do building, you know what I'm talking about. I was not feeling the sermon. You know, People say stuff like that. No, it's not you. It's not about you. It's his house. Hallelujah. You know what Jacob said? He said, wow. He was afraid. He said, this is the house of God. This is the house of God. And we said earlier on, he now took the oil in the culture of the Orientals. That oil, not the Mesopotamian now, that oil was for sacredness. If you come to Yoruba culture, they will use palm oil. You can help me. They pour oil. Why? That place is meant for the gods. Supernatural things. Jacob knew that this is a sacred place. You treat it differently. Because to anoint means that you revere the place. To anoint means that it is holy. And we read Genesis 31, 13, where he says, I am the God of Bethel, where you are anointed. Are you here? I'm the God of Bethel, where you are anointed. So it's a holy ground. It's a holy ground. You are his holy ground. You have to treat your body as a sacred place. You can't give your body over to immorality. It is a sacred house. The first thing you must think about your body is this belongs to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The body, the gathering of the saints is a sacred place, a sacred territory. Don't forget, we're not referring to a building. We're referring to where we meet. There's a time like that, we would have our fellowship meetings, Faith Family Fellowship, in the middle of the 90s. There was a brother, the brother who was a member of the fellowship, he was the secretary of the local government. So he gave us the venue free. We're enjoying it. Free! So because we had the free venue, we're doing meetings every day. Just preaching. We're not paying. So suddenly, no. I think what he was still the secretary. Then they changed the chairman. So he didn't have the powers. So the chairman now decided that we're not going to be the only ones to use it. So he brought another church. So two churches were sharing the holy place. And it was so funny. The one time we had Holy Ghost meetings, this was 95 or so, early 96. And the church felt that what was happening was demonic. People were rejoicing, falling apart and roaring and laughing. So they brought oil. And started pulling around and saying, all the evil spirit that they put here yesterday, Lord. So two churches were fighting over God's holy place. But then the end came, they removed the chairman. Removed the secretary, the Muslim came and he chased all of us. He drove us out of the Garden of Eden. He chased us out. So, our venue now was part-time. Where we found. Brother, where are we using today? I think there's one place free in that area. We meet there, the bridge. Then, the next 2 days, where are we doing prayer meeting? He said, I think UAMC is going to be free. The primary school, they're not doing lesson. We'll meet there. So we're moving from place to place. Like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But everywhere we met, okay, I forgot the part. Now when they chased us out, they now were using the place for disco party. And it was so loud. People would fill up the same place. And somehow, we were annoyed. This is the place where we are doing Holy Ghost meeting. We hear. Get down on it. And we were upset. Back to life. Back to reality. So they'll be singing it. Ah! They were furious. Well, we used to sing pleasures and delights. They are springing from my heart. Something is springing from them. We're upset. That's not the holy place. So don't be upset. Someone said, look at what's happening in London. He said, cathedrals are now being used for disco party. That's not the problem. That's not the problem. We say, no, we're waiting for the day that the cathedrals will come back to the church. If cathedrals was what they needed, they would not have lost it. So that's not the problem. It is what was happening there. It's what you are doing there. You know, people can organize a program and they will fix everything but the purpose. Everything. You know, you can organize a very good program without praying. And you have excellent event managers. Excellent. Somebody told me, he was to battle this church, so he said, sir, I don't know whether you have thought about this, but I said, what? Have you thought about, why do you want us to do? Project management. Sorry. I said, for what? He said, for the church. I said, yes. I said, what project? He said, not necessarily. The regular, can you take the, he told me personally. It's not a mail. One-on-one. He said, the regular Sunday services can be like a project. We'll look at the timing, you know, we'll get feedbacks from the people. I was looking at him. I think you miss your road. Me. I didn't get born by accident. I received eternal life. It's very real. My friend, they will say, Larry, I'm also will say, there's internal life, there's eternal life. Some people have internal life, it's not eternal life that they have. I said, no. This person never attended one prayer group meeting. How would you know what we need when you have not even prayed? Someone told me, he said, your books. No, he told me in, before we started, he said, the books, I'm thinking about your books. How do we get a catchy audience? He went on and on and on. I said, we'll be led by the Spirit. He said, oh, you've started the game. Led by the Spirit. This is not about Spirit. This is a book. Yeah, he's a pastor. By title. So I said, It's the work of God. If it's your business, you can bring in project manager. You can look at your strategy. You can look at, what that thing again? SWOT analysis. But not the church. No. It's holy ground. It's holy ground. When God called Israel out of Egypt, he said, you will be a holy people to me. That means, so whenever he was giving them instructions, people get it wrong. On the food. It wasn't the food that was the issue. It was the land they were going to. How they saw the food. They used food in Canaan as part of worship. The secretion and part of a woman's body was seen as a spiritual object. So those instructions were holiness because they were going into a place you can call the world. So they are different. Moses taught virtually everything. He said, you have to be different. The way they would dress, you have to be different. The way they used to eat, you have to be different. What they used to eat, how they used to refer to food, you have to be different. Why? Because you are God's holy people. You are his holy people. So the issue is what we do when we come together. Now in John's Gospel chapter 2, Jesus drove out the money changers. I've explained that to you before. He wasn't upset. He drove out the money changers. I'm going to look at the lessons from there. What he did there should guide us in how we treat church meetings. Are you here? Well, because don't forget, we are his house. Say we are his house. Say we are his house. So he goes in there. He goes to what you call the Gentile. The Gentile could have explained that to us. Is where they exchange money for animal sacrifices. I've explained this in two camp meetings and believers. So you get this one. Now the reason for it is that the Gentiles were not given the same access as Israel in the temple. So you bring your sacrifice, you exchange money. So you bring your money, sorry, they exchange it for the sacrifice, you go in. Jesus knew the time for that was over. That in what God said to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to Moses, in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1 to 2, Isaiah 56, verse 1 to 8, all nations will have the same place. So he drove them out, because when he said, a den of thieves, I told you what thief is an impostor, is not a criminal with guns. This ought not to be there. So the first thing he does in God's holy place, he removes segregation. Segregation between tribes. Segregation between status, ethnic groups. So, if we are going to have it as a holy place, we must realize that the church has one single culture. While it is good to have churches where we translate people's languages, for example, we have places that we meet as a sense of the church where we translate, we interpret. Some, we just preach in their languages. Fine. But we must guard ourselves from crossing the line. Stay with the language for communication, but never build a cultural church. Now I'm speaking English because that's what we all can understand here. But the culture of the assembly must not be English. The first thing he does in the holy place, he removes the segregation. And he did that so often in the four Gospels. The Samaritan woman in John 4. In Matthew 8, the centurion. In Luke 4, he didn't refer to the scripture on judgment for the Gentiles and they were upset. In Luke 10, the story of the Samaritan. He pointed to so many things. In Luke 23, one of the centurion, the soldiers who pulled down his helmet and worshipped God. There were too many things in the four Gospels that showed that Jesus brought everybody together. He started the ministry in the Galilee of the nations, Matthew 4, verse 15 through to 18. And when he gave them the Great Commission, he gave them the Great Commission and the same mountain of Galilee, Mount Galilee. It says, go into all the world. So the first thing that God's holy ground does not accept is segregation, discrimination. Between, listen now, even between young and old. Now, you know, we ask children not to be in this auditorium. And when we do that, we don't keep them in one room and give them banning. No. Are you aware that, I know you know, that in the children's church, they are holding their own Holy Ghost meetings? See, the notes of the teachers of the children's church are approved by me. They teach them the Word of God. Because if we are defiling His temple. Rich and poor, there must not be a space for the rich in the church. Not one. When we do that, we defile the temple. We defile his house. His house shall be for all nations. Did you hear what I'm saying? Those of you who are pastors, Nigerians, pastoring in America, pastoring in the United Kingdom, in Russia, in maybe India, you're pastoring in and then you now take your local culture. You now get to a church in America. They are singing Yesu Kore Dasile, Mohe, Mohe, Moda Sako. Number one miracle. Don't know what you say. You get to Spain. Okay, Nedo. Okay, Nedo. Okay, Nedo. No. Hallelujah. No. I said no. Hallelujah. It is not an association of believers in diaspora. It's church. The holy place. Are you here? That's the first thing he did. He removed the segregation. Pastors, I know we have the temptation of liking people that give money. You want to lie? And you know some people that are not serious Christians, they'll be sending money to you a lot. You just get a lot. So you cannot ask about prayer meeting. Just be here. I'll pay up front. That's why I pray up front. I pray up front. What about prayer meeting? That's why, you know, what I do is not, I understand. Why won't you understand? The eyes of your understanding. I've been enlightened with money. Now give a special parking lot. I know it's not like that. When you're bringing your car, say, no, this car is not for this place. Move like that. When you see your car, you say, no. No, this is not the car we're talking about. You can see it from the plate number. Do like this. See the car going, yes. Human beings are very interesting. One day I went to preach somewhere. I won't do that again today anyway, but I just dressed not too, I wasn't casual, but I didn't wear man of God's dressing. So there was this brother I took with me. He was going with me. He wore 3-piece suits. 3-piece. And he was feeling hot, but he stayed like that. He was 3-piece suits. As we got there, they ushered him to the front. Okay. I sat where I sat. He didn't refuse, so he just sat in the front. So when they said, we now call on the guest minister. As they called my name, he can't get up. He's my name. So I got up. They were looking at him. So as I came up, I now sat in front. So they had to tell him, you relocated to the back. But why did they think he was a man of God? Because he wore 3-piece suits. Nonsense. Sometimes we respect people because of what they, and some of us do it in church. You're in the service, you just look at somebody, just see the person's car keys. Marketing. You say, how are you, sir? Were you blessed in the service? Yeah. You saw somebody else who wasn't looking as, you say, okay, bye-bye, see you next week. Say, you sure? Yes. Do you need anything in this church? They're not the pastor. He said, no. You don't need anything in this church. Okay. It's nice to have people like you in our church. In case you want to know, my name is Jesus Christ. You have a problem. So So you are defiling the house of God. His house does not respect things like that. We're not going to disrespect people's work status. No. But we're going to welcome everyone the same way. Is that clear? What was the second thing he did? He taught the word of God. It's a place where God is known. In God's holy land, his revelation, he's taught night and day. Somebody said something that blessed me a lot. There's a pastor in America, Texas. He said to me, now that was years ago, this was in the 90s or so. He said, if we're going to have, my late friend first said this. I think he first said it. Two of them said it, but differently. That they view a church where we have a building, a camp, that the word of God will be taught there 24 hours a day. And he said, that is God's mind. I said, that's true. Pray that brethren may not come. But the word of God is taught, because Jesus sat down, then he taught the word. So the character of the local church meeting is the teaching of the word. The word of God is taught. When you have people have church and little teaching, they are defiling the place. They are defiling the place. That's why the characteristic of a leader in the church is one that's able to teach. You know, when Moses in Exodus 18, when he chose elders, what was the first thing they were doing? They were teaching. They were teaching. So, the teaching of the word of God is not one of the things we do by the side. In Acts 2:42, it says they continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. The book of Acts is full of preaching every chapter, except when there's persecution. Acts 5:42, they continue to teach from house to house, teaching and preaching the Lord Jesus. In the house of God, we teach the word of God. Let me now say this. If you respect the house of God, and you treat it as holy, you will ensure that you are diligent with the scriptures. I tell God, by God's grace, I get to teach people in Bible schools, both here and abroad. And I tell them that when you are teaching, think about Jesus sitting down in the congregation. Let's see whether you will say what you are saying. I say, Jesus is the is my Lord. So you have to teach. The third thing he said, Mark 11:17, he said, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. A house of prayer. In your study, go and check 1 Kings 8. Where, I told you that Solomon did not think God was living there. That temple was a view of the local church. He said, your name will be upon this house. He said, anywhere your people are in trouble and they can turn to this place. So it's a place of the word, it's a place of prayer. That's why in the book of Acts, prayer was all over the book of Acts. All over. Acts 1, prayer. Acts 2, prayer. Acts 3, prayer. Acts 4, prayer. Acts 5, prayer. Acts 6, prayer. Are you here? Prayer. Acts 9, prayer. Acts 10, prayer. Acts 11, Acts 12, prayer. Acts 13, prayer. There's prayer throughout the book of Acts. You can't miss it. So, if you don't attend prayer meetings, you are out of the will of God. If you don't pray, you don't respect the house of God. And pastors, the strength of your congregation is in the prayer meetings. In our church, I tell the leaders, the pastors, I said, Put your attention. There's some things you must, you know, we have the Sunday service, everybody's there, yay. I said, look at the prayer meetings. Look at the evangelism. Who are those who come out to get that done? Those are the people you are building. The ones that come on Sundays are raw materials, but they are not yet being built. Going to church on Sundays, there's nothing special in it. It's already a free day. Even the government has given you. So there's no sacrifice. Something that the government has donated to you. It's when you take out time of your schedule. Don't say busy schedule, your schedule. It's only busy when that thing is not important. And you fellowship with the saints of God. If you don't attend prayer meetings, I know this prayer meeting you say you're attending online. Just in Jesus' name, that's when you start to put it off. When I'm about to say, glory, 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 glory. Yeah, bah, 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 bah. We give you praises. We give you praises, Holy Spirit. What kind of prayer meeting is that? What kind of prayer? The one we are able to get that we are trying not to sleep. You the one you are in your house. Your cell group leader will just say, he call you, it's 4:30, he say, I can see. They set alarm for 5:20. Say, Rosh Ego, are you praying? Ah, thank you. In fact, don't you see Peter, James, and John? How many minutes? The three of them in one accord. Do you think those ones will pray online? Do you think Peter, James, and John can pray online? Can Uticos hear the word online? Seniors come. I really enjoy the service. I know. You slept halfway. Why would you enjoy the service? Hallelujah. It's a house of God. It's a house of God. We go there to pray. We go there to pray. What does he do? He healed the sick. He healed the sick. These are the things that will now describe the kind of meetings you can hold. Fellowship, teaching, prayer, healing service. There is no room to campaign for a political party. Did you hear that? There's no room for that. Politicians are Christians, and they are free to be Christians and be politicians. But there's no such room for the house of God to be manipulated for political, personal reasons. It's absolutely wrong. The madness that happens when the elections are close by, there's just one anointing of elections. The Lord is saying to me that elections will not hold. You've never spoken about evangelism. Not about the gifts of God, it's elections. That is an abuse. Can pastors be politicians? Sure. Can they aspire for? Yes. Can they vote and vote? Yes. Can they campaign? Yes. But not in the holy place. That one is not for you. It's not for your party. It's not even for your nation. It's for one nation. It's not even for your nation. Are you here? Whatever comes upon us, in particular in Africa, I think America too does it. Whatever comes upon us, it's such a strange spirit. They're not proper lying. We make a mess, a shame. And we enjoy it. Is it ridicule? Stick to your calling. When you are in church, you are in church. Is that clear? And no pastor should coerce any Christian to vote for who he wants to vote for. That's manipulation. People should tell you, pastor, oh, you're voting for Pastor Somi? No. I don't want to do pastor. I want Pastor Kayode. See, How would you say that to me? I'm your man of God. That's manipulation. He says, no, sir. I don't like him. He can't be my leader. Eh? What if I said God told you? He said, if. That's wrong. That's wrong. This is sacred place. If it's a sacred place, it's not everything that we do there. Is that not it? So everything that we do there. This one must be about God and his work on earth. Prayer. Healing the sick. Meeting needs. Bringing succor, respite, help to the helpless, hope to the hopeless. It's a place of the glory of God. Hallelujah. How do we see God in visibilities? The gifts of the Holy Ghost. It's a place for the gifts of the Holy Ghost. What else? It's a place to reach the world. Hallelujah. So look at the meetings you are doing. Look at the meetings that you are doing. You don't sit there and say, what do you guys want? Paul warned Timothy. He said, the time will come. 2 Timothy chapter 3, chapter 4 and verse 3. That they will no longer endure sound doctrine. He said, they will turn away from the truth of God's word to fables. They will develop itching ears. You know what itching ears is? Itching ears is, this is what I want to hear in church. This is what I want to hear. Someone told me, he said, I thought that you were a grace preacher. I said, it's not just grace, it's charity. And sit down somewhere. You call me to tell me what to preach. Say, when I hear them, they're not talking about fasting. Say, doesn't your tummy need fasting? I was not talking to you. Whoever it is, to whom it may concern. So I said, no. I preach all of God's word for all of God's people. The gifts of the Holy Ghost. That's why people like Kenneth Hagin, in his book, Plans, Purposes and Pursuits, where he told us what the Lord told him, and it's by, is in the Word of God. I'm not saying it because he said the Lord told him. I'm saying it because it's in the Word. And he said, what is the purpose of the meetings? Have you ever asked, what's the purpose? So that people invite me to come and speak, and I tell them, what's the purpose of the meeting? They say, it's a convention, sir. I said, I saw it. What is the purpose? Conventions. I said, I know. What is the purpose? It's a program. Okay, I know. I didn't say it's an app. What is the program about? It's just to speak to the people of God. He doesn't even know. So there are different kinds of meetings. And in all the meetings, we must fellowship. No one must be segregated. That's why Paul says, if there's someone who does not speak in tongues, but he is in the house, you have to interpret for him. If you don't interpret, you are not worshiping God. You're not edifying. Edify means do what will worship God. That is why it has to be in love. Hallelujah. Are you here? So, you know, sometimes when we can have people in the church. That's why factions are wrong in the church. Factions. Factions defile the house of God. My classmates in university, my cousins, those from my tribe, those of us who are well-to-do, you are defiling the house of God. Or those of us that flow with the Spirit. So we leave those who don't flow with the Spirit. No. We fellowship together. Hallelujah. I said we fellowship together. Hallelujah. I said we fellowship together. That's it. So we have fellowship. And in that fellowship, what do? We teach His word. We pray. We heal the sick. Meet needs. We reach the world. We allow for the demonstrations of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, I speak to every Christian under the sound of my voice. And this is from the Lord to you. We need to put honor in the house of God. Honor. I wrote this down because the Lord said to say to you, honor, respect in the house of God. He said to tell you that because he has put honor on his name, he has put honor on us, the believers. He has put honor on our gathering. So we must acknowledge that honor. Don't bring the world into his secret place. Don't bring bad habits into his secret place. No gossips. No immoral living. Are you punctual? Do you respect the time? Hear me. If Pastor Joshua, for example, if he says to us that he's the pastor and he says, we're going to meet on Tuesday, 6 p.m. If you honor God, you'll be there 6 o'clock. Remember in Matthew 18, Jesus said, if your brother offends you, you go to him. Tell him his fault. If he hears you, you've won your brother. If he doesn't hear you, he said, call two or three, let them go with you. If he hears them, you won him. If he doesn't, he says, tell it to the church. That was the last place. And then he says, if he refuses to hear the church, then the church will take the final action. And he says, whatever they bind is done of the Father. Which means, the church of Christ is the highest place of authority in the earth. It's heaven and earth. Honor in the house of God. Honor. Honor for believers. Don't gossip believers. Don't backbite believers. You know that believers sometimes, they will leave a church. And they will still be going around speaking against the church. You've already left. Why are you speaking against the place? Some will stay in the church. And they are speaking evil of the church. Are you looking for the judgment of God? What are you looking for? You are right there. Rather than build people, you tear them down. You don't foster unity. You bring strife. There's judgment for it. Paul warned us about it. You murmur every day. I see some believers I look at and I pity them. I just pity you. You don't know what your toying is. You think this is a human organization? You think this is about human organization? You think this is about some people just gather, you like them, you don't like their face? No, 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 sir. No. This is God's house. And that goes for leaders too. You must behave yourself. If you're a pastor, behave yourself. God chose you as first among equals. You are not special. It's what you are doing that makes you special. So put honor on your own work too and behave yourself. Behave yourself. To whom much is given, much is required. I give you this from the Lord. Put honor in my house. Respect in my house. Watch what you do and what you don't do. I close here. And I have this to say to all of us. Go and renew your commitment to the values of the local church. Values of the local church. Unity. Honor. Love. Sacrifice. Selflessness. Those are the values. Unity. Love. Honor. Selflessness. Sacrifice, generosity. You know, in the book of Acts, As soon as those people got born again, I mean, new converts, they were born again barely a few hours or a few days. They were selling their lands and houses to ensure that the church does not lack. Don't allow bloggers to blog your brain. You say, can you imagine? They are doing this to church. They are doing the same people who celebrate a celebrity who is making millions of dollars, who will build a house. Ah, this guy bought a yacht, $20 million. But when they hear that the church was giving $20 million for the work of the gospel, say, this is manipulation. No, you are demonic. You are demonic. And number two, is it your money? It's not your money. What kind of manipulation is that? Giving to the Lord is of God. You know, in Mark 13, it's in Mark 10, 12 now, the woman who was a widow, Mark 13, she's a widow, and they're not supposed to collect things from the widow. So it was manipulative. The Pharisees, you know what Jesus said? Jesus condemned their actions and commended her giving. Even though she was manipulated, he said she has given more. The values of the holy ground, giving, helping the poor, serving. Are you here? Are you in departments in church? You don't attend any department. Say, for now. Can you imagine a Christian say, I've not decided to join any department. I'm praying about it. Who are you praying to? It's Baal that you're praying to. Baal. It's Baal. You know Baal? Aha. I can explain Baal to you. Just time has gone. It's Baal that you're worshiping. What are you praying about? You are a child of God. In fact, it is now that we choose departments. In the Bible, they say, do this. I don't have the skill. You will learn it. You choose by me. I prefer living word media. Why? What did they do? So we have to tell them at some point. Why are you looking straight? Judgment is for you. He said, let them join. What did they join? The usher. Even those who are singing. What did they do? You said you start cleaning the toilets. As you are singing, you are cleaning. If you can't clean the toilet, don't sing. It was in your voice. Amen? And they will pray. If you can't pray, you can't lead songs. If we find you that you don't have souls, you don't win souls, you don't reach the lost, nobody you see there. It's because of not that voice. So they have better people that sing that. The people that sing better. It's not their voice. So they have disciples here who are looking at them. They go for evangelism. They lead prayer. So it's not the, rest in the touch. I'll tell you to go and rest. We serve here because we are priests in the house of God. Next few minutes, commit yourself to service, to the values of the holy ground. Commit yourself. If you're a leader, commit yourself to treat your work as a holy task. Commit yourself to a holy task and pray for yourself that you will not treat this work with levity. Lord, I wanna be more.